This morning we're going to be talking about a subject that to me is just absolutely exciting. There is probably a few topics in Scripture that I love more than sharing about, and that is of creation. Of all the things that God has created just fascinates me. The Bible gives us a beautiful account and a beautiful record and an incredibly just vast and intense picture of what took place a long time ago in the book of Genesis. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And the Word of God says, "In the beginning, God." And I want you to stop right there. Stop there just for a moment and think about that and let that sink into your mind, sink into your heart. In the beginning, God. As I was preparing for this message, and actually this is a message that God began to work in my heart probably 2 or 3 months ago. As I began looking at the Word in Genesis chapter 1, I read, "In the beginning, God," and God stopped me right there. Because I believe God wanted me in that moment to realize, guess what, Michael? There's a few things that's really cool here that I want you to understand. He wanted me and you this morning to understand that before creation, God existed. He wanted us to understand that before there was time, God was already present. And He wanted us to understand that before there was anything, God was. And so as we read the account of Genesis, we can't just continue on without understanding first and foremost, in the beginning, God. He was there at the beginning. I believe this is a foundational truth that you and I this morning have to understand if we're going to be able to understand even just a glimpse of what creation does for you and I today in our very lives and in our walk with Christ. So I believe it's only appropriate that God begins His book with that. In the beginning, God, because it all started with Him. Let's read some of Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to go through it. I'm going to go through it pretty quick, so I hope you have on your running shoes, because we're going to go through a lot of Scripture this morning, because there's a lot of great stuff I believe that God wants to say to yours and my heart. But before we start, I just want to pray. Father God, we love You this morning. We thank You so much, Heavenly Father, that in the beginning there was You and You alone. But Father, You just didn't leave it at that. Father, You decided to allow creation to take place through Your hands and through the work of You. So, Father, we just want to say thank You. We want to bless You this morning. And, Father, may You bless the reading of Your Word. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let's go through the account of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening and morning the first day. So the very first day, God says, you know what, I'm going to create some cool things. I'm going to create the heavens. I'm going to create the earth itself, and I'm going to create some light. But He doesn't stop there. He continues on in verse 6. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, second day. So God creates the earth, He creates the heavens, He creates light, and then on the second day, He chooses to create the sky. But it doesn't end there. He continues on. In verse 9, "And God said, 'Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear.' And it was so. And God called the dry ground land, and gathered waters He called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds.' And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in accordance to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day." So day one, we've got the heavens, the earth, and light. Day two, we've got the sky. And day three, creates land, the seas, vegetation, plants, and He creates trees. But He's not finished yet. He continues on. In verse 14, "And God said, 'Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to mark seasons, that the days and the years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give them life on light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. So the fourth day, He creates the stars, He creates the moon, He creates the sun. These are big things here, guys. This ain't just some minimal thing that God has created. He is creating enormous, wonderfully, incredibly beautiful things of creation. But He's still not done. We continue on. Verse 20. And God said, let the waters teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving thing within the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, and He said, be fruitful and multiply, increase in number, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. God created on the fifth day the sea creatures, everything that lives in the waters. And He created also the birds. Verse 24, and God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures, and moving along the ground, and wild animals, each according to his kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures moving along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish, over the sea, the birds, the air, over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit and seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw that all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The sixth day, He created all the animals, all the land animals, all the creatures, and He created this cool little guy called Adam. He created a ton in 6 days. And I believe Scripture teaches these are 6 literal days. He said there was evening and there was morning, and it happened. It amazes me that at the spoken voice of God, He has the power to create all of these things listed here. That is the mighty, awesome wonder and splendor of an almighty God. And then on the seventh day, the Scripture says in chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. I don't know about you, but if I got done creating all that, I'd want to take a little break, wouldn't you? God rested at the seventh day at the end of this wonderful creation. And I read through that just very quickly because I want to give us some background of where we're going. Have you ever read through the account of Genesis and just asked the question, why did God do all that? Why in the world did God choose to create the sky, the seas, the earth? Why did He create you and me? Well, this morning I really hope that through the Scripture and reading of God's Word, we're going to look at 4 reasons why I believe, 4 purposes why I think God chose to create. Do you think that one day God was just kind of bored and had nothing better to do, and He said, well, I'm just going to create some cool stuff. I'll create these nice little stars, and I'll create this little place called Earth. I'll create these funky little creatures, and oh, by the way, I'm going to create this funky little thing called a man. No, I don't think God was bored. Do you think that maybe God was kind of lonely and said, you know, I really would like somebody to talk to, somebody that I can watch, kind of like we do when we buy a little fish aquarium and we kind of watch it and check it out to give us some companionship? I don't think that was the case either, because as we read in Genesis, it says that there was the Father, there was the Son, there was the Holy Spirit. God was complete in and of Himself, folks. He didn't need you and I. He didn't need this earth. But for some reason, He chose to create it and everything in it and everything out of it. We're going to look at that this morning. I hope that through the reading of God's Word, God will reveal to us maybe some purposes, four purposes in particular, of why He chose creation. I believe the first purpose this morning is to display and declare God's glory. We find this in Isaiah 45, verses 5 to 8. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other God. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place that it sets, men may know that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. You heavens above, rain down righteousness, and let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide, let salvation spring up, and let righteousness grow with it. The Lord has created it. God is an incredibly vast and almost unimaginable at the power and the might and the splendor of His almighty hand. This morning, as we've looked at Genesis, God created everything that we see, and better yet, even everything that you and I cannot see, those things that are invisible or microscopic that we can't even see. There are things that God has created that you and I cannot even fathom, what is far beyond the farthest galaxy that we can see. I imagine there's much more out there than we even know of. But it screams, and I believe this morning, that one of the purposes that He created everything was so that it would display His glory and declare God's glory. So that's the first reason. I believe the second reason this morning is to demonstrate His love for man. And we find that in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. He says, you see, at just the right time, when we were all still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think about this. God, in those first 5 days, He could have created the world. He could have created this beautiful place to live. He could have created animals. All of those things. He could have created the heavens, the stars, the sky. And He could have stopped right there. But for some reason, God has chosen to create you and I. Why is that? I believe the Scripture teaches us that He created us so that He could display His love to us. Did He know that way back in the days when He created Adam, even before Adam, did He know that Adam was going to sin? This means yes. This means no. Yes, He did. He knew that Adam was going to sin. So why in the world would God, a perfect God, a holy God, choose to create something that He knew was going to become corrupt? He created that person, Adam, and then Eve, and all the creations of us that came after that, for one reason: so that He could later on send His only Son and give up everything that He has so that you and I might be able to spend eternity with Him. Folks, I don't know about you, but that is called love. I love my son indefinitely. I have a son. I've only got one of them. I got two beautiful daughters, but I've got one son. And I really, to be honest with you, in my own human nature, I don't think I could give my son up for anybody. But God loved you, and He loved me so much that He chose to give up His Son, to allow Him to die. Folks, that is an incredible amount of love. That is an unconditional love that isn't based on anything you do for God or anything that you don't do in life. He did it because He chose to love us. That is why I believe that He created man and woman. He created humans to demonstrate His love for us. The third purpose I believe God created was because He wanted to dwell in the believer. And we find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. And in Him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling which God lives by His Spirit. You see, God chose to live inside of every believer. When we accept Christ, when we make a decision to follow God and His principles and His ways, God says that He indwells and lives inside of us. That's an exciting thing to know. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His power, through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This big, humongous, mighty God that created the universe, that created the earth, that created you and me, chose to live in this little bitty place called our hearts and our lives. God created you and He created me and everything that we know because He wanted to declare His glory. He wanted to demonstrate His love for man. And I believe He wanted to dwell and live inside of the believer. The fourth principle, the fourth purpose, I believe that God established creation and created everything was for this, to draw men unto Himself. We read two passages of Scripture here. Romans, turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. And Paul says this, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what we may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Think about that for a moment. God created you and I. He created everything. And He said, because of all of creation, it screams one thing, that I am God and that I am Creator. He says that there is no man nor woman in this earth that will ever be without excuse. I know in Bible college, there was something that really bothered me because we were very mission-focused at Trinity College of Florida. And our desire was to reach the lost and to help the lost. And we always had missionaries that would come in and share their stories and their life and what kind of mission God had placed them in. But one thing that really bothered me is these guys would come in and they would say, you know, we need funds because we need to translate Bibles into these native languages for these tribes in Africa and these places over in Zimbabwe and that have never heard the gospel. They've never read the Bible. And we want to get something in their hands to these unreached people groups with God's Word. And my heart just began to break because I started to think, my God, there is tons of people that will never know You because we don't have a Bible in their hand. They will not know who Christ is. But then one day God began to show me in Romans that for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, everything about God, He says, has eternal power, His divine nature, they have been what? Clearly seen. God says that because of My creation, these folks that may never even read a Bible, they will know that I am God. And man is without excuse. Folks, there are so many people across this world, across Grant Mountain, alone, that don't know Christ, that don't have that personal, intimate, daily relationship with the living God that created them and created everything. And God says, you know what? I'm right here. I am absolutely clearly seen. The problem is that sometimes we choose to close our eyes and we don't look around and see God at work and we don't see His handiwork. The heavens declare His glory. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. That's Psalm 19, 1 to 3. There is no speech or language that God's voice, His presence, cannot be understood and cannot be heard. That is awesome to me. That is incredible that God wants to make Himself known to everyone. And He wants everyone to know Him. You know, as I read through the passage of Genesis, and God is creating these cool things. I mean, if you really think about it, the earth in itself, have you ever seen the picture where you've got God kind of holding the world? That's some big hands, folks. to be able to create the world, to create the stars, the sun, the moon, to be able to create those things, that means God is bigger than those things. And that is vast and enormous and uncomprehendable for my mind to even begin to understand. But the beautiful thing, as I read through Genesis chapter 1, I believe all of creation was for us. It was for us. We're the center of creation. Did you notice when he was creating the animals, when he created the birds, when he created the plants, what did he say? What? It is good. That's okay. I just created the universe. It's okay. But then when he got to the point where he created man, he said, what? It is very good. I believe God took pride in us. I believe you and I are the center and the focal point of all creation. He said, because of man, you're going to rule and reign over this earth. You're going to have the authority over these animals, the plants. I'm going to give you the food. Everything revolved around us. And not to put us up here on some kind of high pedestal. Because again, our focus this morning is on the Creator, not the creation. We are the creation. And we should never switch that around. God is always above us. We will never attain a godlike state. We will receive a glorified body to those who know Him and are called according to His purpose. And that is an exciting thing. But we will never become God. And we have to understand that this morning. This morning, I want to venture to say that God created everything that we know for a purpose, to reveal Himself to you and to me. He created everything that we see, everything that we don't see, to point to one person, and that is the Creator. And that's exciting to me, folks, because that means that God is all around us. We have to be careful. We can't ever say God is the cow that He created, or God is the trees, or He is the ocean. I've heard some religions and some theologies that teach that, and that is false doctrine. That is not what Scripture teaches. Yes, God is omnipresent, which means He is everywhere at the same time. But He is not the creation. God says He chooses to live inside the believer. God is around everything, but He is not the creation. He's the Creator. And we and the things around us are God's handiwork. This morning I want to ask you a question. Have you seen the Lord today? I'm not asking, did you see God the day that you got saved 10 years ago? Or last week, or yesterday, or a couple months ago? Have you seen Him this morning? Folks, I venture to say, if you have not seen God this morning, you have not opened your eyes. Because God's Word has said He has clearly made Himself known to us. And He desires for us to open up, to wake up, and to see Him through His creation this morning. For some of us, I think that we haven't seen the Lord because maybe we've gotten too busy. We get so worked up and caught up in our family time and in our work and in this and that, and sometimes even too caught up in church. And we neglect to see the Savior in the midst of it all. We neglect to be able to open up our eyes and clearly see that God is present in our lives. We sang a song this morning and it says, He is here, hallelujah, amen. God is here in this place, whether you feel Him or not. He is here, He is around us, and He wants to make Himself known to you and to me. For some of us, we get too self-centered. We start focusing on me and my needs and what's going on in my life. And we start looking so much inward that we can't see outward. God says, I want you to look up. Look beyond your circumstances. Look beyond your frustrations. Look beyond the tragedies maybe that are occurring in your life right now, and see that there's a Savior waiting to embrace you. There's a Savior that created everything to point you to Him. He wants us to see Him this morning, church. We have to take the opportunity to look beyond our circumstances, beyond our storms, and see the person that can calm the storms, to see the person that created the storms. God indeed can be found today. Jeremiah chapter 29:13 says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Folks, if you want to know God and you want to get to know God, I want you to know the awesome thing about Christ, He's available and He's willing to be known. He wants you to experience a daily walk with Him, not just some head knowledge about who God is or what he's about or what he did in the past, but he wants you to know and experience today what he wants to do in your life. We've been going through a series over the past week or two, and we're going to continue on when Pastor Bill gets back on experiencing joy. And we're going to be looking at experiencing different things, experiencing prayer. God wants us not to just know about him, but he wants us to experience him and that relationship daily. God wants to be known. His desire is to have an intimate relationship with you and I every single day of our lives. God desires a life that is devoted not only to knowing him, but devoted to loving him, serving him, and seeking him from today till the day he takes us home. As we examine creation all around us, I believe this morning it should cause one primary thing to happen in yours and my life and in our heart. Turn with me to Psalm 146. Psalm chapter 146. Take your Bible, just split it in half. You should come close to the Psalms. Psalm chapter 146. This is a beautiful, beautiful and incredible passage. And if I get excited, y'all just hang on. Buckle your seatbelt. Because this is just an incredible passage of Scripture to me. Psalm chapter 146 begins this way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, the maker of the heaven and earth, the sea, everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. He lifts up those who are bowed down. He loves the righteous, and the Lord watches over the alien. He sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. This morning, we serve an incredible God. And because of his creation, because of what he has done, because he has chosen to create you and express his love to you through his Son, Jesus Christ, it should cause one thing to happen. And that is rejoicing and celebration and praise and adoration for us to sing hallelujah. I know we're Baptists in here. And Baptists, a lot of times we won't say words like hallelujah, praise the Lord. Well, my goodness, when we begin to see what God has done for our lives through creation, I believe that we can't help ourselves from saying, God, I praise you. God, hallelujah, because you have done an incredible and mighty work. And I don't believe that's being Pentecostal. I believe that's being in love with a Creator God. This morning, I want to share with you a video. This video is going to show us just some pictures, some images of God's creation. And this morning, we've done some things a little bit different this morning because I've asked Jason to, after the video, lead us in a couple of songs of worship. Because folks, as we've seen God's Word, as we've studied His Word, as we've looked at His creation around us, we see that His hand is at work and He has done an incredible thing. And He loves you and I so much that He was willing to send His only Son to take your place and my place for our sins. And because of that, man, my prayer this morning is that this place would just erupt and sing, God, I praise you. Hallelujah, God. You are incredibly wonderful and mighty. And Lord, we worship you today. We meet every Sunday morning, and there are churches all across this country and even other countries that meet on Sunday morning. And what do we call this time right now? Worship. Worship is giving back to Him what He already deserves because He is the only one worthy of that praise.
Father God, we just lift you up this morning and we just praise you from down here on this earth, this creation, Lord, that you made this earth. And Lord, for us, that you knitted together, as your word says, in our mother's womb. Lord, we just praise you for all of that. Just take a moment, church, and just praise God for his creation, for everything that he's made. Father God, we just worship you this morning, and we thank you so much for everything that you're doing in our lives and in this church. And Lord, again, I pray, Lord, we want to be a church that's about your business, about what you're doing. So Lord, we ask that you lead. And church, if you want the Lord just to lead this church, we just say amen. Amen. Lord, we just desire to be led by you and about your business. So continue to make this church, form this church, mold this church, and break this church, Lord, into what you want it to be. In your awesome name, we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. May the God of creation bless you this week.